I'm not a big fan of interruptions. Are you? Interruptions when you're speaking or interruptions in your life. We like things our own way, right? I remember I've shared with some of you before, my very first pastorate, one evening we were in a Sunday night Bible study, and I stood before the small assembly of faithful worshipers there at Rogersville Cumberland Presbyterian Church, and this is right when Noah was beginning to learn how to communicate some as a young child, just about 4 years old, 3 years old. And Monya and I were using some sign language, and we were both kind of learning together. In fact, the church family was trying to learn sign language with us all. We were trying to figure out how to communicate with this gift of ours. And in the middle, right as I got up, finished my prayer, friends, Monya starts giving me signs in the back of the church. And I wasn't real good at reading signs. And of course, she was interrupting me anyway, so I couldn't understand that. So I got a little bit perturbed. A little angry, Bobby, right in the middle of my message. So you know what? I decided I was going to set her straight. Right there in front of everybody. So she, in the middle of her signs, I stopped my little Bible study and I said, "What is it, Monya? I can't understand what you're saying." She said, "Your pants are unzipped, Jody." She set me straight instead of me setting her straight, right? Here's the thing. Not all interruptions are bad, right? Sometimes, Mike, we need to be interrupted to save ourselves from embarrassment, from missteps, from mistakes. But we don't like interruptions. Even we clergy type, we ministers, another great experience I learned early in my ministry. I remember thinking I had these great plans of how I was going to organize, Doc, my church. I had all these principles. I said, there's going to be 7 P's every day that I focus on that help me live out the gospel in our community. I'm going to preach. I'm going to pray. I'm going to practice. I don't even remember what all they were now. Those got whittled down to about 3 P's pretty quickly. And I was lamenting to one of my mentors in ministry about how all these interruptions were just frustrating me. If people would just leave me alone, I could do some real ministry. It's kind of like we used to say at Blue Mountain College when I worked there. If it wasn't for these students, this college work would be real easy. Wait a minute, that's the whole purpose we exist, right? It's not going to be easy. Here's what my friend told me when I told him and I lamented about my interruptions. He said, "Yeah, Jody, I used to get frustrated with the interruptions of my ministry too." And then he said, "One day I finally come to realize the interruptions aren't the things that keep me from doing ministry. The interruptions are my ministry." Friends, can you hear in our text today those words of life proclaimed to us? That our God in the busyness of all creation in majesty is willing to be interrupted by us all. As Jesus journeyed in our text today to the house of Jairus to bring healing and restoration to this broken family, in the journey, he was willing to pause and stop for a faithful daughter in need. Wow. Friends, if there's nothing else that comes out of this sermon today, may we receive the beauty of the gospel story to know that we are worthy in the eyes of the one who made us and claims us as his own to be interruptions for our God. That's who you are. You are the apple of our Lord's eye. You are beautifully and wonderfully made, for you are a child of the Most High, glorious Lord above. You see, the woman in our text today, the woman didn't even have a name as Mark chronicled it here in our text. She'd been overlooked. She'd been an outcast. She suffered in her physical illness for 12 years, likely didn't have children as a result of this physical illness of her body. She had exhausted her income. She had turned to those who were true physicians and probably those who were snake oil salesmen too, because the text tells us this. It said, she'd spent all she had, and instead of getting better, she'd actually gotten worse. Can you imagine the desolation, the hopelessness this beautiful child of grace must have felt? But in the busyness of Jesus' journey to one who had a name, to the home of Jairus, to a leader in the church, to an upstanding member of the community that everybody wanted to impress, Jesus paused for this one who was overlooked and overcome with grief, brokenness, hopelessness, and peril. Friends, that's the God of life that comes to us. And as we consider God's willingness to be interrupted for us, it pushes me in this passage today to say, then how do we as faithful followers of Christ respond to those interruptions in the world around us? In other words, what if God interrupts us? Not only, you see, is God willing to be interrupted for us, but sometimes we are called upon to have our plans turned upside down as well. You see, interruptions can be a delay in the timing that we had anticipated, or it can be a commencement that we weren't ready for. It's an upsetting of our apple cart. It's changing things of what we had planned for our future, for our current journey. And that's the call of faith that our God places before us too. Are we, as followers of Christ, willing to be interrupted with the call of God upon our life? This beginning of our worship today, this call to worship from Psalm 130. Lynn and I were going back and forth about what call to worship. I won't give you all those details today, but ultimately it was the Holy Spirit, I think, Lynn, that picked this call to worship. For Psalm 130 said this, hear it with me again. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word I hope. Not only do we not like to be interrupted, friends, we don't like to wait, correct? And the psalmist says to us that in waiting in our Lord's timing, there is hope for us. Let's think of that word wait. I've shared with some of you before an understanding of how we can interpret the word wait, maybe in a more practical present tense. You know, if you go out to dinner to a nice restaurant, Manya and I went out to one of our favorites, an Asian place in Corinth the other night, and it was so long, the wait was. And we enjoyed each other and talked, and the little lady who was taking care of us, she just kept coming back and forth, and she was apologizing for the delay, and we were fine, but But here's what she was doing. She was doing more than simply waiting on us, right? She was serving us. She was bringing us water. She was bringing us extra appetizers if she could. You know, in fact, many of us who understand a little bit about dining know that the person who attends you now when you go to a restaurant, they used to be called waiters. Now, more often, they're called servers. Could it be that in the beauty of waiting upon God, that's the call for us to do, is to not simply sit on our hands and just wait for God's timing, but in our waiting to have the passion to continually serve God even as we wait. See, that's the faithfulness. If we went to that restaurant and all the waiter did was just waited on us to finish the meal, we wouldn't be very pleased with what they've given to us, right? But they help us enjoy the feast. They're a part of the dining experience. They help us find a fullness and a beauty in the whole dining experience. Friends, there's a far greater gift in that when we wait upon God. And we allow God to serve us, and we serve God. When we are faithful, in the words of the woman in our text today, because let's be honest, friends, this world presents questions for us. Questions as the woman suffering in the hemorrhaging. Questions of Jairus and his wife and family at the loss of their child. There's brokenness and unexplained injury and sadness and sorrow in this world that we're going to face. But friends, I believe as I stand before you today, with every fiber in me, that the word of the psalmist is true. That we don't have a sure guess. We don't have a sure maybe. We have a sure and certain hope through our Lord Jesus Christ. That when we wait, God's restoration will be true, will be eternal, and will overcome all of our brokenness. Until we reign with the Lord of all creation in that heavenly realm where there's no more pain, no more questions, no more sadness, sorrow, or goodbyes, but life, love, and joy forever. Thanks be to God in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, I ask you now today to remember with me what it is that we believe about our God.